I can be a winning Ryder Cup captain away, so is an exceptionally big deal, and it adds a lot to my legacy.
For the best Ryder Cup build-up reaction and exclusive interviews, go to otbsports.com/golfweekly and become an official friend of the pod now.
Yesterday, the news came through that Jimmy Greaves had passed away. To reflect now on one of the truly great football careers in any generation, I'm delighted to say John Giles is with us. John, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. Okay, thank you. A bit sad about the news. Yeah.
In the past, when we've spoken to you about Greaves and the skill set that he had and the talent that he had, you were as effusive in your praise of him as you've been about absolutely anybody. So for a younger generation, John, what was so good and so special about him?
Well, first of all, he was a great goal scorer. I just see this morning, a total of 602 matches and he scored 420 goals. And this was at a time when young people watching the telly from years ago and they see the pitches that were very, very poor most of the time during the year when they got wet and rain and all the various things. And he did it under those conditions. So goodness knows what he would do now, Jared, if he was playing. But he was one of the greats, in my opinion. Real greats.
John, your career has overlapped massively. When you think back to you starting out in the late 50s, early 60s, that was at a time when Jimmy Greaves was, you know, he scored 41 league goals in 40 matches for Chelsea. Was he, at that early age, was he seen as a superstar of English football? What were the conversations like around Jimmy Greaves in those very early days?
Well, I think people were still amazed in those days at what he was doing, Ger. I think he was only 17 when he got into the Chelsea team. Who were an ordinary side, you know. It wasn't as if they were making loads of goals for him when he was at a very, very young age. And, I mean, you could tell straight away what he was at the time he was doing it. I mean, it was remarkable, the goals he scored for Chelsea. Remarkable, you know, before he went to Italy then and then came back to have a great career at Spurs. He was a great finisher. He had all the skills for it. He was very exceptionally quick, great dribbler, left-footed. He wasn't bad on his right side either. And quick and good control. Wouldn't see him much in the game, Nathan, you know. He wasn't a grafter by any means. But most players, when he was in the Spurs team, in the great Spurs team with Dave McKay and Danny Blanchflower and John White, they wouldn't be on to Jimmy about not working hard enough. It's a bit like Ronaldo in that way. He was a goal scorer. He wasn't a grafter by any means, but a great, great goal scorer. And these players that played with him would live with him. You know, they wouldn't be worried about him chasing back or not chasing back because they knew what he was going to do. He was one of the greats.
There's a perception that he was a tap-in merchant or, you know, played it kind of on the edge of the offside line. But actually, looking at videos, he could score every different type of goal. There are shots from outside the box. There are the bit where you mentioned him dribbling. He could beat a player. He could go near post. He could go far post. He could pretty much do everything. Maybe not the greatest header of a ball, but apart from that, absolutely everything else.
Now, he'd say he used to have a joke about himself heading the ball. He wasn't a very big fella. He wasn't a tall lad, a big, strong lad. Well, he was strong, but he was very, very quick. But he had great balance, Jer. You know, he could go past people. As you say, he could hit them from outside the box. Now, he didn't have a great shot all the time. I'd say that most of his goals were well inside the penalty area. He could see it coming, you know. He's like all the great goal scorers. But dribbling, he's great balance. He's very, very quick. Very, very quick and very, very smooth. In his control of the ball, because when he got through, he was, and like all great goal scorers, Jack, he seemed to have loads of time to stick the ball in the back of the net. I mean, one of my first experiences with Jimmy Greaves, I came out, he was in the first team at Chelsea before I got on the team at Manchester United, but I played against him in the cup final, semi-final of 70-62, and there was Danny Blanchflower, took a quick free kick, knocked it over the top of the Manchester United defence, and Greaves was through one-on-one with the goalkeeper. And I was running back. Now, I had no chance of catching him, but I could see everything. And when he was on the inside right position, got the ball in his level, and you could see, it looked like the goalkeeper, our goalkeeper, was outside the post. That's how he approached the ball, at the goal. And inside of his left foot, And all I could see was a big empty goal. And get inside of his left foot, strike it home, which is exactly what he did. And that's the sign of a great goal scorer. When you see a bad striker, they get through and the goalkeeper looks like a big joint. He never got past him. He made it look like the goalkeeper was outside the post. He was brilliant on that. He had the control, he had the speed to get away to the defenders, and this knack, if you call it knack, of making the goal look a mile wide.
John, were you ever able to get a sense of what Greaves was like personality-wise?
No, I didn't really know him. Jerry. I did an interview with him one time when I'd finished playing and he'd finished playing when I went to West Brom. But he was a funny lad on the pitch. I remember one time playing at the White Hart Lane and the two of us went in to tackle and the referee gave us a free kick against him. And he said, effing hell, ref. He says, the first tackle I've won all season. And you give a free kick. He wasn't a tackler, you know. But I think he was quite funny with the lads. But he seemed to have a mentality, Jer, that if you win some, you lose some. You know, like a lot of strikers are like that. They don't get, the great strikers, if they miss a chance, they don't get upset about it. They don't get down on themselves. And that was his attitude, Jimmy. I've seen him miss a couple of chances, even playing against me. He'd miss a couple, wasn't many. He said, well, that's the game, you know. Some you win, some you lose. But the next chance you get, he'd put it in the back of the net.
It's from his own perspective and from his own career's perspective, it's unfortunate, really, that he wasn't part of that England team properly that wins the World Cup, that he's not on the field of play because of that team. Obviously, Bobby Charlton was the standout forward, but he was a far superior striker than the ones who actually ended up playing in that game. Is that correct?
Yes. I think what happened was they got off to a bad start in the World Cup in 66. And what happens with Jimmy, if Jimmy's not scoring goals, which was very seldom, as I said, he's not contributing. And England didn't play well, and that's when Alf Ramsey made the change because Jimmy was dependent on getting a good service to score the goals. England didn't play well in the first couple of matches. He made a few changes, Alf Ramsey, and unfortunately, Jimmy was one of them because they weren't dominating the games and they weren't getting chances. He wasn't missing any chances. He just wasn't getting any chances. So that's when Ramsey turned around. And Jimmy was very, very unfortunate to get it to be in that situation, that the team didn't play well and he didn't get the chances at the time of the World Cup. Because he got back in the team immediately after the World Cup. Mm. Very unfortunate in that way.
That England squad had come to Dublin, I think it was a couple of years earlier, for a friendly, John. Jimmy Greaves scored in it. England won 3-1. I know you were playing in that match. Do you have any memories of it at Daly Mount?
We were well beaten, I remember that. Jimmy scored all the time, you know, apart from that particular spell in the World Cup. But I remember being well beaten. I think Ramsey had just taken over, or one of his first matches anyway, at that time.
Yeah.
At Daly Mount. But that was a bad old days from Ireland's point of view, Nathan, you know. That's when we had the selection committee. Ramsey was the first manager in England, as we know, that was allowed to pick the team and be in full charge. Like in Ireland, we had to wait another 8 years for that. Mm. So we were well beaten on the day.
He never won a league title, Jimmy Greaves, and you often talk about that era, and like that Leeds team you were part of won titles, but also went so close in so many occasions, and it was a great Manchester United at the time, a great Liverpool side at the time. Was it simple as that, that Spurs during the 60s were good but maybe never got to great?
Well, they were great before that, you see, Nathan, before Jimmy came on the scene. You know, Spurs were the first team to win the double. I think it was in 1961 or 60, well, certainly 1961 or 62.
Yeah, and he signed that summer.
Yeah, he signed after they won the double, and they won the cup. I think he won the cup twice. Might have won the European Cup, but it wasn't the best of times for Spurs in relation to the great team that they had before that. So all the more credit for Jimmy to score the amount of goals that he did, Nathan, because he wasn't in such a great team. You know, Leeds came along, Liverpool came along, Man United came along at that particular time. Actually, I don't think Spurs have won the league since 1961 or 62.
Yeah.
Was it
so Jimmy moved out. Yeah, they missed out in the double, and then they won the cup the next year.
Was it a wild thing for him to do, to go from Chelsea to Italy at that stage? Because very few players made that trip to join an Italian club.
I think Jimmy was a home board as well.
Right.
And I don't think he ever settled into the Italian situation. And I think they had a coach there. I can't remember his name. But he was supposed to be a real, real hard nut. And was on Jimmy's back all the time. You know, Jimmy hated it there. I think his wife hated it there. It didn't last very long. He went to Milan, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't last very long there. Although, if you look at his goal-scoring record, and he didn't get on with the coach, I think he scored, 10 goals out from 15 or 16 matches. But he wasn't there. He was there a very, very short time. I think he hated the Italian discipline. Used to take the lads away for a lot of matches, and there were very few lads from from England or Ireland that made it in Italy. Liam Brady eventually, when he got there, but John Charles did as well. But Dennis Lord couldn't settle there. Joe Beggar couldn't settle there. Jimmy Greaves couldn't settle there. I think Jimmy was a home board on that. I think his wife didn't like it either there.
He certainly had an amazing career when he came back. The last thing I just wanted to ask then, obviously he becomes very popular as a TV host, which is kind of seen as this very important moment in English football where it crosses over from just being football to entertainment, and everything that comes after that, obviously we know with the money that comes from satellite TV and all that kind of stuff, is the explosion of the league. Is that important, do you think? Is that actually part of his standing and the popularity that he has now, that you see this outpouring of grief for him?
Well, I think a lot of people enjoyed him on television, but I think I think it comes really from what he did on the pitch. He was very popular on the television with Ian St. John. To be fair, Jimmy was in those days. It was like lots of players that retired or had to retire in those days. Jimmy wasn't financially secure by any means. None of the players of that generation were, so he had to do something. And Jimmy, when he went on television. Was a totally different character that people thought he was. I mean, Jimmy, when he was doing his best or having his great career in football, wasn't in the papers all that much. He wasn't very well known. He was a very private individual. So I think he needed to make a living. I don't think he ever was going to go into management. So, he hit it off with Ian St. John and they became very popular, and they did it for a long time. But I think he needed to do that.
Yeah, no, fair enough. John, thanks a million for joining us today. Cheers.
Okay, Ger, thank you.
It's John Giles giving us his thoughts there, and he'll be back obviously with Nathan on Thursday evening.